Okay, so here's what happened. I recorded the free stretch like I always do. Last night being Wednesday night. Sometimes I do it on Thursday, right, released, but usually I do it on Wednesday night. And that's what happened last night. And I did a whole show talking about lots of different things, and you're going to hear that show in just a moment. But what I didn't talk about, and we talked about Bucks free agency, we talked about the draft, we talked about all these things coming up. What we did not talk about, of course, was Jason Pierre-Paul, because last night there was no indication of any impending move, and so I didn't address it on the show in any way. So I thought about that. I said, should I just post this podcast that I already recorded that makes no mention of what is easily the biggest news of the offseason for the Buccaneers so far? And I said, no, I'm going to record a little addendum. Still going to keep the show I already did, and you'll hear that again in a moment. But I wanted to talk first about what the Buccaneers did today. And in case you missed it, the Buccaneers have traded for Jason Pierre-Paul with the New York Giants. What they did was give the Giants a third-round draft pick. They also swapped fourth-round positions, which is not ultimately meaningful in any way, but they gave him a third-round pick, basically, for Jason Pierre-Paul. We get Pierre-Paul, they get the third-round pick, and we swap fourth-round positions. So, and you know, you always hate to give up a pick, but we've been talking about pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. If you listen on here in a few minutes, you'll hear me talking about the Vinnie Curry move and on and on and on. And, you know, what else could you possibly, I think I even said it verbatim, what else could you possibly have wanted Jason Light to do given what's out there right now? I said those words. And, well, this would have qualified because this is certainly a move that, you know, they're not waiting around anymore. And if they hadn't made a move like this today, I mean, an hour ago before I heard about this, I wasn't thinking, oh, man, the Bucs just didn't do enough. But now, and listen, Jason Pierre-Paul may end up not being what he used to. We don't know. He's not old. You know, in late 20s. But we have no idea how it will work out. But the Bucs took a stab here, and I talked about this on Twitter a little while ago. Everybody this morning now, Jason Light is God to these people. I can't tell you how many tweets I've seen. I mean, go look at the Commish's timeline. He's retweeting all kinds of people. Oh, I just want to apologize to Jason Light for everything I said. I should have waited, which, by the way, this is exactly what I said on the last show last week. Let's just wait until the offseason is over, then evaluate where we think the Bucks are and what they should have done. But people are saying that today. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I prejudged Jason Light. I didn't know. I just needed to wait a little longer, and he came through and on and on and on. So now all of a sudden, he's God today. Can do no wrong. The Bucks are going for it. We're going 12-4. We're going to the bowl. Everybody's feeling it right now. And that may happen. What also may happen is Jason Pierre-Paul may not be as good as he used to be, or he may be everything they're hoping he is, and the Bucks still might go 8-8 or 7-9 again. And if that happens, Jason Light's name will be mud all over again. So again, we don't know, but we do know the Bucks needed to do something. And they did a few things already that were going to be very helpful, especially against the run. Pass rush-wise, it was kind of like, eh. Well, now they've addressed that too. Now you've got options with Vinnie Curry, being able to, you know, put him inside, keep him outside. You've got, obviously, Pierre-Paul. You got Bo Allen, great against the run. And now you've got options in the draft. And again, I did a whole thing. You'll hear it coming up. Just stay tuned here. We're going to hear the whole podcast. I did a whole thing, and I do a whole thing about how you need to get a guy in the draft, or you need to be trying to get a guy in the draft who can be a franchise cornerstone. That doesn't always equate to the guy who's the best at the position you need right now. It can, but the odds of finding that guy are so small either way that to make the odds even smaller by winnowing it down to a certain position or two is foolish. Because as important as 2018 is, it's not more important than 2019, 2020, or 21 and 22. Now, it is more important to Jason Light and Dirk Koetter because they'll be gone if 2018 doesn't go well. But looking at when you're trying to draft guys like Rondi Barber or Derek Brooks or John Lynch or Warren Sapp or Warwick Dunn, you know, all those guys they drafted in the 90s that ended up being cornerstones of a team as it transformed from a laughingstock to an eventual Super Bowl champion. It was just about finding those guys. If you go back on Wikipedia and look at all the drafts, there's only a handful of them. So anyway, I'd still be great with Bradley Chubb, but now things have changed, obviously, with Jason Pierre-Paul and some teams trading up ahead of the Bucs at quarterback, or that are going to take quarterbacks. It's going to be a pretty interesting few weeks here until we finally get this going. So stay tuned. You're about to hear the free stretch. There's plenty on there today. I just wanted to do this little addendum because, again, didn't make any mention of Jason Pierre-Paul having recorded it last night. I didn't feel like that was acceptable for you, the audience, who's going to be tuning in today thinking, oh, man, Jason Pierre-Paul, let's get some talk about it. I'm excited, more so now than I was 2 hours ago, I can tell you that. And I got a feeling most of you Bucks fans feel the same way. So now I give you this week's edition of the free stretch. Stay tuned. And I hope you enjoy. All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, back for more this week. And we have got a lot to talk about today. There's been some news. We've got things going with the Bucks themselves. We got things going league-wide. Whole mess of things going on, and I'll tell you what. The first thing that came to mind reading through all the stuff regarding the draft, and I'll get to the Bucks specifically, but the news coming down today about the draft going on television on even more channels than it's already on, and let's just break down exactly what you'll be able to watch when you tune into the draft this week, or excuse me, this coming month. I'm already feeling like it's this week. It feels that close. But no, we already know it's on ESPN, like always. The past few years, NFL Network has done their broadcast right alongside it, and you've been able to flip back and forth. Sometimes the commercials line up, sometimes they don't, and you get a break there, and one goes to commercial, and you go on to the other one, and it's great. I mean, you can't have too many options with the draft. So ESPN's contract kept it pretty much that way. They couldn't go on any other cable networks or anything. But they can go on regular networks still, which seemed like overkill up until today when the news came down that now Fox is going to have rounds 1-3 live on their network. And that's over-the-air television, baby. That's not cable. And it's still, I don't care what anybody says, it still makes a difference, cable versus over-the-air. But now the entire draft, every single pick, will be available on over-the-air television. Because Fox is going to do rounds 1-3, then ABC is going to have rounds 4-7. The ABC portion, the second half of the draft, will just be a simulcast of ESPN's coverage. But Fox will have its own coverage. It'll have all your boys on there. Troy Aikman's going to be a part of the broadcast and everything. And now you've got three options at any given time, let alone ESPN, who is now coming back because, hey, they've got pressure. They've got competition from not only NFL Network, who's been eating into their numbers a little bit over the past few years, but they've got now Fox, and you know people are going to try that, especially since it's new. So ESPN says, oh, wait a minute, we're putting more resources into it, which I had no idea was even possible. I can't imagine how ESPN could even cover the draft more than they already cover it. But apparently on ESPN2, they're going to have like a college theme broadcast of it on that. Of course, the regular ESPN broadcast, I suppose, will have even more. Again, who knows what the hell they'll even do that they haven't already done. And on and on and on and on and on. But the basics of it are this. Again, three separate channels at any given time the draft will be on this year. So certainly, we can guarantee this will be the most watched draft ever. I mean, I don't see any scenario. And again, not just because of the draft itself getting bigger or anything like that, but the more channels you put it on, the more people who will watch it, even if by accident, especially since you're putting it on at least one of the channels that's, again, in every single household with a television. And I know people say, oh, you know, it's 2018, there's no difference between cable and non-cable. There always has been at least some difference. Anytime you put something on a network, more eyes see it than when it's on cable. And I think even more so now because things are swinging the other way and a lot of people are dropping cable and trying to cord cut or piece together their channel lineups in ways that save them money. But even everybody who does that can have the HD antenna or whatever it is you need on your TV, and everybody's picking up the local stations. Like even if you don't have cable, you can get NBC, ABC, Fox, CBS, and all that stuff. So there was that news. And it kind of made me think about how I watched the draft, and I was thinking back over the years because, Like, for example, the Super Bowl. I can think of every single Super Bowl, and I can tell you going back all the way till I was, I mean, I'm 37. Literally, I can go back to when I was 5 years old, start there, and go every single year up to age now, age 37, and tell you where I watched that season's Super Bowl. I can tell you the exact spot I watched it, whose house, whatever place. I remember them all. And with the NFL draft, I was thinking back trying to do the same thing, and I can't do it. I have certain memories over the years of certain draft picks and where I was when I watched them. You know, it's obviously not the same as a game. I know a lot of people try to make it out like it is, but it's not. And yet, lately, since they moved to this Thursday night thing especially, I have found that it's a more festive thing. There's something about that weeknight primetime. You're looking for an excuse to do stuff with your buddies. I mean, when it was back on Saturdays at noon, you know, the first round, I'd usually just be doing something at the house, or I might be out and about, and, you know, this is before cell phones and everything. But now on Thursday night, like, we get together, me and my friends. I always have either people come over to the house, or I go to somebody's house. Of course, you've always got the draft party with the commish. You can always do that, you know, affiliated officially with Joe Bucks Fan, and we throw some great parties with Joe Bucks Fan. I have been to a couple of them, okay? You know, I'm new to this whole thing. This is my first year doing a podcast on Joe Bucks Fan, but the parties are really fun, and it's not like big league stuff or anything. Like, you just go hang out with other people who participate or read Joe Bucks Fan, and the people themselves that write and podcast on Joe Bucks Fan, and everybody's just kind of there. I mean, I've been to meetings with, you know, I remember when I first started doing the podcast here, I met with the Joes, and they're like, hey, come to Hooters. We're going to be at Hooters later on. We're going to actually be recording one of our shows. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I just show up at Hooters, the one on Hillsborough Avenue, and they're all there. Justin was there. The Joes were there. Ira was there. The whole gang was there. And there's other people too, though. All these guys that are just listeners, just hanging out. And I was like, this is cool. This is really laid back. This is fun. The draft party is a bigger version of that. So you might do that. But whatever it is, there's no question how big of an event it is at this point. And the draft is the number one reason that the NFL is considered a year-round sport. Because let's be honest, and the NFL, for all you can say about them, bad or good, they are brilliant when it comes to this stuff. Because their offseason is actually longer than any other sports. All these other sports have these just interminable regular seasons. And if you combine the regular season and the playoffs, the whole thing lasts 8-9 months. I mean, hockey, especially if you make a deep run in the playoffs, I mean, the offseason's like 5 minutes long, and then you turn around and it's back to training camp. You know, baseball, 6 months of regular season alone. You got a month of spring training before, a month of playoffs afterward. That's 8 months. NBA, same thing. I mean, just, again, they finish up in June, and they're already getting going again late September, October. The NFL is just 3 short months of regular season. You've got a month of preseason and a month of playoffs. It's less than half the year. It's the only sport that actually runs less than half the year. And yet, with those other 7 months, they either A, do more, or B, create the illusion of doing more than any other league, to where I'm already like, well, the draft's coming up, and then by then, training camp's only like, what, you know, a few weeks away? Maybe it's not a few weeks, it's more than that, but it feels like after the draft's over, you got May and June in there, and those are just, okay, you know, once Ballers comes out on HBO in their season premiere, then, to me, that bridges it right till training camp, and then you're home, and the draft is a big reason why, because they actually have made the time from the Super Bowl to the draft feel so short. With the combine, with free agency. Now we're really, I mean, if you really look at it closely, we're in the doldrums now. Like, we got the combine over with. Free agency has now pretty much run its course. And so, at this point, there is nothing happening until the draft, which is still a solid month and change away. And yet, it's like all raging right now. Every day there's news coming down. Every pro day, you go on Twitter, there's clips. Oh, here's Bill Belichick putting Bradley Chubb through a drill, and people just, you know, get their little hearts content watching all that stuff. You know, Derwin James, FSU had their pro day, on and on. And it does. I mean, they've created an illusion. Again, whether you buy into it or not, they've created an illusion of action throughout the season. And so, and I'll tell you what, my favorite draft, speaking of watching drafts, and my favorite memories, I remember last year's draft in particular, for the biggest reason was because, this is my favorite Bucks draft pick of all time, was watching O.J. Howard get picked, and it has nothing to do with O.J. Howard. But last year, during the draft, my cousin, Markham, he was getting married a few weeks later, had his bachelor party in Costa Rica. So, you know, just a quick story. So, I go to Costa Rica, and I'm, you know, my cousin's a little younger than me. He's in his early 30s. So, it's him and all his buddies from college and high school, and they're still, a lot of them, some of them are married, but a lot of them are still single, and they're still in full party mode, and I'm a married guy with older, you know, I got a couple kids already, but I'm along for the ride, because I'm family, so my cousin invites me, and I go, and it was a blast, but like, I'm not quite doing what they're doing, so it's like, you know, what's this guy, you know, who's the older guy, I'm not getting drunk, I'm not doing anything, you know, some of the guys that were single were having a little more fun doing some other things, but anyway, the point is, one of the nights like that, and we rented out this mansion, which we had like 15 guys, so it didn't even cost that much per person, but like, it was like a few hundred bucks per person. We had this mansion like on the beach with like a chef, like 8-bedroom. I mean, it was insane. I recommend this to anybody. Just, again, as an aside, we'll get back to the Bucks in a minute. But if you're looking to have a bachelor party and you want to go a little bit big, but not too crazy big, you can go to Vegas and spend thousands of dollars or somewhere. Go to Costa Rica. Get the flight. That'll be the most expensive part. If you have enough people, if it's a big group, like 8 guys plus, you can get a really nice place and it won't cost you that much per person. I mean, we live like kings over there. And we ended up, I mean, we went ATV, you could go fishing, we were around the beach. I mean, it was awesome. So the night of the draft was one of the nights we were there. And all the guys were getting ready to go out to some bar and just get blasted. And I'm not really that way. And I still go out. I mean, I love going out and everything. But my cousin comes up to me before we go, and maybe he was just trying to get rid of me. I don't know. But he says, hey, man, we're going to go out now. You know, this place, this house we rented, it comes with one free massage. Just a free massage. They come over, and they set up a table, and they massage you. And I'm like, oh, cool, that's awesome, dude. Well, you're the bachelor. Have fun with that. He's like, no. We're going to go out. He's like, I'm not really going to use this. You want it? And I was like, what's that? Really? He's like, yeah, just look, she's going to be here in like 10 minutes. Just wait here. And I'm already thinking like, what is this, you know, really going to be? But it was really a legitimate massage. I honest to God swear, it was nothing, anything you're thinking. It was just an actual masseuse. And he's like, yeah, if you want to hang out and just meet us out later, you can get a massage right now. So I'm like, okay, yeah, hell yes. I mean, massages are great. I'm in for the massage. So I stay at the mansion with the pool and the cabana and everything, all that. And they go out, and they weren't far. You know, it was someplace you could walk to. We were in Jaco, in case anybody's wondering. Jaco Beach, check it out. You can Google it. So the masseuse comes over, and again, totally legit masseuse. She's wearing a polo shirt and khakis. I mean, nothing like, you know, you're thinking it's the Wild West out there, but no, it was a real masseuse. So she's like, where do you want me to put the table? And I'm like, huh, that's a good question. And then I see a TV over there. I'm like, let me see something. Hang on a second. So I turn the TV on. And I had my phone. It was working with the internet. So I was following the draft stuff. This is the night of the first round. I'm like, let me check something out real quick. I mean, who knows what the hell the cable situation is here in the middle of Costa Rica. You know, I doubt there's a big NFL football presence here. So I turn it on. They get ESPN Deportes on this TV. And it's the draft, and it's on, and it's all Spanish. I mean, it's ESPN Deportes, but these guys knew their stuff. I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but the graphics and everything, you could see. I could tell what was going on. And obviously, all the picks were being made in English. They were showing the actual audio of Roger Goodell. So I'm like, yeah, put the table right here. This is what we're going to do. Like, I need you to put this in front of the TV. Let me lay out here, and I can lay and see the TV. And I can watch the draft while you massage me. This is going to be the greatest draft of all time. So that's what we did. I laid down. You know, I'm in some boxer briefs. I'm on the table. She starts massaging me. It was a great massage. And I turn it so that my head, you know, when I'm laying sideways on the table there, I'm looking right at the TV. Watch the Bucks take O.J. Howard. That's how you do the NFL draft. Now, I wasn't surrounded by my buddies because they had all left. or my cousin's buddies, I should say. It wasn't even really my buddies. But again, we got done what we needed to get done, and I had a great time. So again, if you're thinking about any type of bachelor party idea, look into Costa Rica. Beautiful country. The people are fantastic. Things aren't terribly expensive. And again, if you have enough people and you can split the place you're going to stay, your airfare will be the worst thing about it as far as finances go. And it's so much fun and just so beautiful. I want to go back, take my family next time. But anyway, that's going to be the draft. So we got the draft on three networks. Then news gets down here this week as well. We already knew the XFL was coming out in 2020. Now we hear about the Alliance of American Football, another spring league. This one's Charlie Ebersol, who's Dick Ebersol's son, who's going to be, I guess, directly competing with Vince McMahon, who was Dick Ebersol's partner. So now his son's going against his old man's old partner. But that's not the point. The point is, you got that, you got the XFL, you've got the Spring League, as they call it. And then you got the Panthers, who are for sale, because Jerry Weaver's just a greasy, creepy old guy. So he's got to sell the team. And going right, we're hearing, is $2.5 billion with a B. $2.5 billion. And I guess the overall point I was thinking about with all this is that for all the rigmarole and the hoopla about the TV ratings and the Anthem BS, which was so dumb, the fact that that was even an issue was so dumb. But all, yeah, it's a problem. I'm done with the NFL. You'll see. Look at the ratings. I'm not the only one. It's going to take the NFL down. Yeah, no. We got the draft on three networks. We've got three spring leagues, and we've got a team getting sold. Not even, I'm not talking about the Giants or the, you know, one of the marquee teams like that, or you know, one of the big money, the Cowboys or somebody. Just the Panthers. Just another NFC South team like the Bucks, and they're selling for 2.5 with a B billion. So whatever you think about football, and certainly it's had its ups and downs, and I've had my ups and downs as a fan with it, and you may probably have too. It's pretty okay, right? It's going to continue being pretty okay for the foreseeable future. And I still wonder about football. I do. You know, 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, because, you know, and I play the game still. I mean, those of you that follow this podcast know, you know, I do semi-pro football at age 37 for the Dunedin Pirates, although our season is winding down now. And I experience it firsthand. Sometimes I'm out there and I'm like, man, I don't know if I should be doing this. Like, this isn't good for me. And sometimes I'm like, man, this is the greatest game ever. I love being able to still play football even though I'm older. It's so cool having a semi-pro league like this. You know, I go on both sides of it. And sometimes I think, I can't believe I just, you know, every time I'll have, like, just a routine hit in a game and maybe my head gets jostled a little bit, I think, man, I'm stupid. Like, that's like a little subconcussive thing that I just did for no reason. I didn't get paid any money for it. I have no business being out here, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And then other times I'm like, oh, man, this is, like I said, just I can't get enough of it. But overall, as a spectator sport, you know, people aren't putting all this money. People aren't starting up leagues because they think they won't make money. Fox isn't bidding on the draft when two other channels already have it because they think they won't make money. And someone, whoever it is, eventually isn't going to pay $2.5 billion for the Carolina Panthers because they don't think they'll make more than that coming back. Okay? So, people, eyeballs, money, all funneling through the NFL, all coming out the other side. That does not appear to be letting up in any way, shape, or form. But it was cute. Like, I have to say, for all you all out there who tried to act like the Anthem kneelers were actually a problem and that this was going to be a big deal, and they're still doing it. I mean, the owners are still talking about, oh, what do we do? You know, even though, again, it's the most overrated issue of our time, in my opinion. But I won't get into that right now. But the point is, it was cute how a lot of you guys out there tried to make it sound like this was going to be an actual threat to football, and how a couple of just knuckleheaded morons who swore the game off because some one guy on a team somewhere yelled for the Anthem that wasn't even on TV, and you thought that was going to be enough to hurt the league. That was cute, I have to say. Really cute. But unfortunately for you, I don't think that's quite how it's going to go. At least not in the immediate future. Email me if you want to, by the way. I always love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. You can check me out on Twitter at JoeBucksFan. So the Bucks themselves, you know, after all the hoopla, again, we had hoopla about not doing enough in free agency. We had hoopla when a couple guys went to team. Remember Robert Quinn getting traded? Oh, well, the Bucks could have done that. You know, they didn't do enough. And I said, let's let it play out. And when I said let it play out, I didn't even mean wait until after free agency. I meant wait till the whole thing's up. But even now, a couple weeks later, the Bucks have made a collection of moves when you put them all together, and they came little by little. We talked about Bo Allen last week. Since then, the Vinnie Curry move from the Eagles, another, again, I want to say stud pass rusher, but that's a guy who can help you on the outside. Bucks have remade their defensive front. Again, not necessarily for the better. We think it'll be better, but they didn't get anybody who you're going to definitively say, oh yeah, now they're good to go. This is it. Certainly against the run, I think they did. The pass rush remains to be seen, but nobody they got is exactly lit it up with sack numbers. You know, Vinnie Curry has been good. He's known for hurries or quarterback hits. There's a million ways you can measure quarterback rush. And again, he's good. And, you know, he'll be basically taking Robert Ayers' spot, who's moving on, younger, all that good stuff. And Robert Ayers, hats off to him, by the way. I mean, it wasn't his fault. But the point is, the Bucks have done something. And I know everybody wanted to see the Bucks do something. I'm still not convinced it'll change anything. I hope it does. Again, I do think they'll be a lot better against the run. But considering what you could possibly have done in free agency, I don't know there's much more the Bucks could have done. I mean, again, they could have maybe made a couple of those trades that you saw, like the Dolphins ended up getting a deal done for Quinn that we wish the Bucks had. Sue's going to end up going, now they're talking about him, to the Rams. A lot of debate on how much value there is with him, and if he's worth the insane amounts of money. I'm just saying, within reason, though, I don't know how much you could have expected from Jason Light that you didn't get, because, again, they did quite a bit when it was all said and done. Now we got the draft coming up, and I was thinking a lot about this the other day with the draft, because, you know, there's so many different ways of approaching it. And, you know, the age-old debates about best player available, address a need, on and on and on. And I was thinking about how hard it is to get guys in the draft who really, truly make a difference on your team long-term. And obviously, every round that goes by, those odds are even longer. But even in the first round, even with the first pick, it's so hard. I mean, all you have to do is go on Wikipedia and just bring up all the past drafts. Go look at the 2011 draft, 2012. Just go through all the years and read off the top, just the top 20. And there'll be like literally three or four guys who really, truly stood out over the years. You'll recognize more than three or four names. There'll be, you know, 8 to 10 of the guys who you'd be like, oh yeah, he was a good player. Oh yeah, he was pretty okay. You know, there's good players, but what every team's trying to do at that stage, the really high picks, you know, again, the top 10, top 15, top 20, what they're hoping they can get done, how rarely it happens, no matter how you approach it. It seems foolish to me, and usually because the team's picking high or not that great, for anyone to act like they're a player away and get real specific with needs. And I say this not because I don't want the Bucks to take Bradley Chubb. In fact, sometimes it lines up where the guy that ends up being a franchise changer is also a guy who plays a position of need at a given time. And that's great. That could be Bradley Chubb. If they draft Chubb, I'll be elated. But looking at what the needs are for this team, all I'm trying to say is that take an open mind draft. You know, whether it ends, it could end up being any number of guys, especially now with the recent trade with the Jets. I mean, there's likelihood of more quarterbacks being taken in front of the Bucks than there were before, meaning more players the Bucks would actually want, since they're not looking quarterback, will be there at 7. So the range of what they could get is very good. Again, they're going to get a player who we're going to be happy with. That's my one. I don't know who they're going to get, but my one prediction is they will draft a guy that will all be like, yeah, all right, good pick. Like, I don't think there's going to be a lot of complaining about this pick just because there's so many guys that are exciting for different reasons and that we'll have at least one or two or more of available when the Bucks pick at 7. If they end up eventually picking 7th, obviously trade downs are always possible too. But, you know, we heard at the pro day the Bucks were giving extra attention to Derwin James. Hey, and you stick him back there with Justin Evans, that's a hell of a safety tandem. But then I think, well, what about pass rush? My God, our pass rush is terrible. Let's get Bradley Chubb. Oh, okay, well, let's get Chubb. But then I think, oh, well, now we got Chubb. Well, wait a minute. We're still a little lean at safety now. And has anybody talked about corner? I mean, I don't hear anybody talking about corner. Maybe it's me. I mean, I don't talk to enough people, maybe, in these lead-ups to the draft about what the Bucks need. But even in my small circle of people, even reading stuff, you know, and I of course, I read Joe Bucks Fan. I read all the Bucks sites. I follow all the Bucks reporters on Twitter. I listen to sports talk radio when I'm not listening to podcasts. I mean, I do it all. And everyone's, you know, Chubb, Chubb, Chubb. And that's great. But we just re-signed Brent Grimes, which Grimes is great. Although every year that goes by, you have to wonder how precipitous the drop-off in effectiveness will be from the last year. There's not a ton of a drop-off from when you're 27 to 28 and 28 to 29, but then it starts getting exponential. You drop off more from 30 from 29, then 31 from 30. So, and he's the number one guy. And who else? Like, I mean, at corner. Like, we're bad at corner. And we could draft Bradley Chubb and still be really bad at corner. We could draft Derwin James and still be really bad in pass rush and at corner. We could draft Saquon Barkley and have done nothing on defense. And none of those things would be, like, criticizable either. Like, I'm just saying, hypothetically, if Saquon Barkley was there at 7 and the Bucks took him, and I'm not, I don't even care about Barkley, anybody. I don't care who it is. I'm not big on running backs that high. I'm just not. Not because they're not good, Barkley's not good, but because you can match, to a degree, that level of production in much later rounds. But if they got him, no one would say, oh my God, what are the Bucks thinking? Saquon Barkley? No, I mean, this guy might be a generational guy. And that's my point. Go back and read those Wikipedias of all the old drafts and think about how silly it was in the moment, if you can remember that far back, about this one guy or that one guy you were obsessed with because he fit your team's need. And think, it's almost just like ping pong balls coming out of a hopper. And regardless of the position of the guy, you're just trying to find one of them that'll actually still be on your team in 4 or 5 years. Like making a difference. That'll get a second contract with your team. That'll be a guy who maybe you can put up on that ring of honor around the edge of the stadium one day. And that really and truly is such a long-term thing that it has nothing to do with what the Bucks need right now. Even though as much as we all want to say, oh man, they were 5-11. If we're going to go to the Super Bowl in 2018, we need to get one. You know what? They're probably not going to go to the Super Bowl in 2018. And their chances of going to the Super Bowl in 2019 or 2020 or 2021 or 2022 even will have more to do with just how good this player is that they pick than it will with what position that player plays wherever the hell it is. And so as a GM, and it's got to be tough because, again, I mean, you need what? 3, 4, 5 first-round picks to really address all the needs you want? I mean, in the perfect world? I mean, yeah, okay, we'll go ahead and take Chubb. Now let's go get James for safety. Okay, what about Denzel Ward or Minka Fitzpatrick? Because we got to have a corner to put with Grimes. Hargraves, eh, I'm not sure about him. Plus, Grimes is getting old anyway. Really need both of those guys, actually. Let's get Ward and Minka. That's what you need to do, you know, in a perfect world. But obviously, you can't do that. You get one shot for that first round, and then you got to wait a whole another round and get another one and on and on and on. And it's tough as a GM. I mean... I'm not saying, I mean, these guys get paid a lot of money for a reason, but I'm not trying to make excuses. But for Jason Light and all these other GMs, I mean, to settle on that one guy and know that you're going to go all in on this, you're going to forsake all the other things you need for at least a round and then just hope you get a guy in the later rounds that meets the other needs. And sometimes you do, but not usually. It's a difficult deal, and that's why, like, I'm just saying this to tell you all, this is my advice at least, you don't have to listen to me, but since you're listening to this podcast already, don't get tunnel vision hey, pass rush has to be Chubb. Could be Chubb. And if it's Chubb, I'll come on the next day or whenever. Actually, I do my podcast the day of the draft, so I'll come on the next week. And I'll say, hey, Chubb, all right, now we're cooking. And he's a stud. I'd totally be happy with him. But if they end up taking, they took Minkah Fitzpatrick. Okay, well, hey, fine. What if Barkley, for whatever reason, falls? And I don't think he will, but then they took him. That'd be a hell of a comp. You know, you got Jameis Winston and Mike Evans doing their thing. You just re-sign him. You got Brate. You got all these guys coming in. O.J. Howard will be in his second year. You got a new offensive lineman in free agency. I mean, the offense could be really good. Now we're throwing in Barkley, too. Oh, my. You know? But again, no matter who they get, it'll be just one guy. It'll be just one guy. And I don't know what's going to happen in 5 years, but I have a feeling, just based on history, that of all the guys we're talking about, of all the guys whose names you're hearing right now, of all the guys that will eventually be those top 10 or 15 picks, only three or four of them will end up being guys that truly make a big-time mark on their franchises for over a few years, you know, over a couple years. And you're trying to get one of those guys, and it has nothing to do with what position they play. I mean, if you told me it was a wide receiver, or if you told me it was a linebacker that was going to be one of those guys, I'd say right now, get them then. I don't care who it is, get them. Because really and truly, and it's a win-now league, these guys have a lot of pressure, especially, I mean, the Bucs of all teams. Dirk Cutter and Jason Light don't care about 5 years from now, if they ain't around 5 years from now. But truly, from the standpoint of a franchise and looking at it big picture, you should have almost no concern about the position somebody plays. You're trying to get one of those handful of guys. And every single draft, when you read those names back 5, 10 years later, there's only three or four of those names that show up in the top 10 or 15. You could do it indefinitely by going on Wikipedia. I mean, there's a few exceptions. Some drafts that were just loaded, and you look at the top 10, like seven of the guys are guys that ended up being solid, like Pro Bowl NFL players. And even making a Pro Bowl isn't like, oh, we drafted a Pro Bowler. I mean, that's great and everything, but I'm talking about, like, you're looking for your Ronde Barbers. You're looking for your Saps. You're looking for your, you know, Derek Brooks types. And obviously, you're not going to get that every year. Those are generational guys. But my point is, if one of those guys is out there, you want him regardless of if it's not your need or not that particular year. Because we're talking about 5, 10 years here. We're not talking about 2018 alone. As excited as we are for 2018. So that's all I wanted to say about that. And we'll talk more. It feels like it's tomorrow. A full month to go while all this stuff gets going. And it'll have been talked to death by then. But that was the interesting stuff going on this week. So with all that said, again, I want to thank the Joes for putting me on this website, letting me get in front of all you guys and do my show. Email me if you want, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at @bobbygameday. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch. As we close out March, when's our next show? Actually, it'll still be March for our next one. We'll close out March next show. But as we close out late March then, and until then, no matter where you are, thank you for listening. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. And go Bucks, I'm Bobby Fenton.